I'm going to kind of do a little, something a little different this morning. And I want to talk about the subject of salvation. I'm not necessarily going to do any theological treatise on the subject. I'm not going to necessarily dive into any major biblical exegesis on the subject. I just want to talk about the subject of salvation and hopefully get the idea across that salvation is by faith in Christ. It's a very simple concept, yet a very profound outcome. And within the Bible-believing community today, there are two different views about salvation. Now, I don't consider the Catholic view of salvation a Christian, you know, a view within the Christian community. I don't lump Christianity and Catholicism together, as many in the evangelical community at large want to do and have been tried to do for the past 25 years or so, as the Catholic Church has tried to metamorphosize and become more appealing to other people of the Christian faith. As far as I'm concerned, Catholicism looks at works as a necessary means of salvation. So they would look at something like what you have to do to get to heaven as the way to get to heaven. So sanctification is your salvation. Your good works is the way you are saved. Within the Christian community, the Bible-believing community alone, today I think there are two different views about salvation, and I'd like to juxtapose those two and highlight what I believe the truth is between the two. There is a position called the New Calvin position, New Calvinism position. And basically that idea is that salvation is an ongoing, developing, and inseparably connected process to obedience. So that you are saved, you're justified by faith alone, but you cannot go to heaven by faith alone. It requires that you demonstrate your salvation by your good works. So if you were to put up a screenshot, it would be salvation equals sanctification. They do a lot of double speak, and they say a lot of phrases, which I'm going to highlight some of those in a moment, to kind of propagate the idea that your faith in Christ, your salvation, is an ongoing process. You can never be fully 100% assured that you are saved unless you are persevering in obedience to Christ, and that it's demonstrable based on whatever they quantify as obedience that you're demonstrating your salvation. The other view is what's been often called the free grace view, and this would be the view that says salvation is definitely crossing a line. There is no process. Salvation is crossing a line from being lost to being saved. You can only go to heaven by faith alone. So in the first case, salvation equals sanctification. In the second case, our salvation is separate from sanctification. They aren't the same. And I think that that really is the biblical concept of salvation. And I'd like to kind of make my case with you this morning in light of the fact that we're in the Christmas season, because during the Christmas season, salvation is the undercurrent of the reality of Christ's birth. It's the whole point. For instance, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people." Luke chapter 1, 67 and 68. The shepherds who were staying out in the fields, remember those guys, and keeping watch over their flock by night, they heard an angel of the Lord declare, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Luke 2, 10 and 11. Simeon, who was a righteous and devout man, looking, it tells us, for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, he exclaimed these words, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." That's in Luke chapter 2, verses 29 to 30. A prophetess by the name of Anna, who was a widow at the age of 84 and never left the temple since she became a widow, serving there night and day with fastings and prayers, when she saw the Christ child, she gave thanks to the Lord and continued to speak of him to all of those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Luke chapter 2, 36 to 38. So we will learn that salvation is all and only about Jesus Christ. We do not participate in our salvation. We can only receive it by faith. Now, New Calvinists, the first group that I suggested exists in the Bible-believing community, they have new terms for salvation. They'll call salvation something like final salvation. That's what John Piper calls it. He calls it final salvation or real salvation. John MacArthur, he'll call it a full faith. And these new Calvinists, they believe justification, which indeed comes by faith alone, won't get you to heaven alone. They claim that there needs to be a final, real salvation according to a process of obedience or of yielding to his lordship. MacArthur says, full faith comes only as we lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. And Piper puts it this way, if you have no ongoing holiness, there's no heaven. Now, a gentleman from the other persuasion, what we call the free grace position, wrote these words in a blog recently about the new Calvinist position. And he says this, Piper is saying that becoming a member of the gym is absolutely free. But if you're really a member, you'll necessarily pay $50 a month. And if you aren't paying $50 a month, then you aren't really a member. But don't misunderstand me, the gym is free. It doesn't cost anything to join. So are you going to be paying by Visa or MasterCard? See, according to Piper's gospel, you got to pay to join the free gym. Yes, salvation is free, but then you must pay for it by persevering. You must get that full and final salvation. You must have a full faith demonstrated throughout your life. By contrast, using the same gym analogy, the free grace position, I think the Christmas position, is simple. Becoming a member of the gym is absolutely free. Period. Save your money and go help your neighbors. So Piper's final salvation, which is the same as MacArthur's real salvation, I don't think is found anywhere in the Bible. In the Bible, there's just salvation, as declared in the Christmas event. And it's obtained by grace through faith. The Bible gives no other conditions for attaining heaven. In 1 Corinthians 3, we're told that no man can lay a foundation either by works for salvation or works to prove your salvation. No man can lay a foundation other than that one that was laid, which is Jesus Christ. the Lord, 1 Corinthians 3:11. Then later on in the chapter, we hear of a man whose works are all burned up in the judgment. That is, it's the believer standing at the judgment seat of Christ. Yet we're told that even if all of his works are burned up, if any man's works are burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. Salvation is based on the foundation of Christ, which includes no good works. Now, from the Reformation, back in the 1500s, through the Great Awakening with people like John Wesley and George Whitefield. Have you heard of those guys before? When I was in London, at the American Church in London back in the 80s. Boy, that sounds like a long time ago. It was.
That's before we were married.
That's before you were married. Oh. Okay, I guess I did lie. At the American Church in London, we were at the church that was called the George Whitefield Church. And the building we were in was not the original building, but it was the original place where the George Whitefield Chapel had been built in the late 1700s. And they would say that in his biographies that George Whitefield could speak with such a booming voice that if the audience was hushed, they could hear his voice a mile away. Imagine that. He was a preacher in the valleys, in the woods, in the fields. He spoke out in the fields. He was a true horseback riding evangelist who spoke out in the fields. That's where his ministry was. His pulpit was the grain fields and the woods. And people by the thousands would come to listen to him. And hear his message in England and then in the United States in the time called the Great Awakening. If you haven't read about it, let me encourage you to do that. But from the Reformation to the Great Awakening, even through into the 20th and 21st century, missionary organizations, campus groups, big meeting evangelists like Billy Graham, the message was always that a sinner can come to God. Here is the song, "Just As I Am, Without One Plea, But That Your Blood Was Shed For Me." That's biblical salvation. That's Christmas. That's the salvation that Zechariah and the shepherds and Anna proclaimed, as well as Simeon. Salvation is not a process through which we are being conformed to the image of the Son. Of course, God conforms believers to the image of His Son, but that's sanctification. That's not how we attain salvation. Works of faith, obedience of faith, yielding to His Lordship, the pursuit of holiness, a decision to forsake all unrighteousness will not save anybody. Won't save anybody. Here's what saves. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Romans 3:22, "The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe." Romans 4:5, "To the one who does not work but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness." John 1:12, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name." John 3:16, "Whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." John 5:24, "He who hears My word and believes Him who sent Me has eternal life." John 6:29, "Jesus answered and said to them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom he has sent. Romans 3:28, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Romans 5:9, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved by that blood from the wrath of God through Christ. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 10:9, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. Romans 11:6, but if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works, whether before or during your salvation. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. That's Christmas. That's Christmas. That's what we celebrate this time of year. That and that alone. The killing of sin, which leads to salvation, is accomplished by Christ on the cross, not by us having wholehearted devotion. If we have to do something to attain salvation, then the death of Jesus on the cross was insufficient to pay for our sin, and all of the verses I just read to you are meaningless. In that case, it would not be true that according to 2 Corinthians 5:21, it would not be true that he made him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf so we become the righteousness of God in him. It would not be true that he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness or continue to do to demonstrate our salvation, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we were made heirs, according to the hope of eternal life. That would not be true if we had to go kill sin, slay sin, and prove our salvation by works of obedience. If you read the whole book of John, John says the stated purpose of his book is that Jesus would bring us eternal life. Here's what he says in John 20, verse 31. But these things that I've written to you have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing, you may have life in his name. Although the Gospel of John repeatedly talks about eternal salvation, never once does he mention anything else like repentance or remorse or regret or having to make Christ Lord or live a life of obedience or prove your salvation. Not once. It's believe. How does a person receive salvation? By believing in Jesus Christ for it. That's it. Period. It's done. You're saved. Salvation belongs to you. Which concept of salvation best incorporates the glory of God? The gospel of salvation brings the glory of God to the lost world. Here's what 2 Corinthians 4 says. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Free grace salvation says that sin keeps us from the glory of God. Romans 3:23, what you read earlier, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When we are saved, we receive the glory of God. Did you know that? Ephesians 1:6. The glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. That is his beloved Son. And those who receive the glory of God at salvation also will receive glorified bodies in heaven. Think about that. 1 Corinthians 15:43, the body of those who have received Christ are sown in dishonor and raised in glory. 3:21 of Philippians says, Christ will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory. All of that comes by believing in Christ for the gift of eternal life. What does it mean to believe in Christ? It means that I trust the evidence about Christ to be true. That when He came as the Christ child and was birthed through Mary, what we call the virgin birth, and as He lived His life and died as a sacrifice for my sin and was resurrected again, I trust all of that evidence to be true. That's what it means to believe in Christ for the gift of eternal life. Think of every sin you commit as a brick that makes a wall between you and God. What the new Calvinists want us to believe and suggest for salvation is, you know, things like regret and remorse and penance and obedience and change behavior and lordship and all of that. They add all that, bundle that all up into belief. What they suggest for salvation will not remove any of those bricks from the wall. Think about that. I just read to you a litany of verses that said it's only belief. But if you add to that regret and remorse and penance and obedience and changed behavior or lordship, you won't, and none of those bricks are removed from the wall. The wall remains. At best, all of those works you're doing will help add more bricks to the wall, just more slowly. But they don't get rid of any of the bricks at all. You're still, the wall's still there between you and God, and it's still growing. Only faith in Christ removes the wall. And when the wall is removed, you enter into His glory. There's no other way to have a relationship with God through Christ than to believe in Christ for the gift of it. That's it. You don't work for it. You don't obey for it. You don't prove it. I just read to you tons of verses. Believe. What does that mean to believe? That means to take it as true that Jesus died for my sin and rose again from the dead based on the evidence I have in Scripture. I believe it's true. So what's the conclusion? Well, the good news for us and for anybody during this Christmas season is that Christ has done something about sin. That's the first thing. That's part of the good news. He came to save His people from their sin. If Jesus didn't solve the sin problem, then we got a big problem. You see, as I've said to you in the past, I'm going to repeat it for me. Not, you don't have to listen if you heard it before, but I want to say it for me. We can only sin against God. Sin is a violation of the character of God. Every human being ever born is born into that dilemma. And that's true of every human being that's ever existed. We are sinners, born in sin. The good news is that Christ has done something about sin, about the real issue, about the wall that was built up between me and God. Secondly, He offers today forgiveness to us. He offers it to us. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He says, I offer you the free gift of salvation. He wants to forgive you through the work I've done. And by the way, it's the only way to get salvation. There's no other way to be saved. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name. If you ever wonder why the name of Jesus Christ is so spurned in our world today, it's because it's engineered by the pit of hell, who hates Christ and hates his Father. You know, why can't, you know, why don't we feel that way about peanut butter? Why don't we feel that way about Big Macs? It's because they're no threat to the demonic network. Jesus Christ and his Father are, and they despise him, and so they have a willing accomplice called unbelieving human beings who hate Christ themselves. The good news is he offers forgiveness, so we can bring that to people. And notice the direction in Scripture is always from Christ to me. It's Christ who came. It's Christ who took the initiative. It's Christ who brought it. It's Christ who delivered it. It's Christ who did it. It's always from Christ to me, Christ to us. It's never from me to Christ, or me working with Christ to make it happen. I don't offer him anything. In salvation, I am always the recipient. I'm the donee. I'm never the donor. I don't do anything to get myself saved. I don't do anything to keep myself saved. Jesus Christ did it all. All to him I owe. So we come all the way back around to Christmas. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. And what is that? For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now that is Christmas. That is what we celebrate. That is what we hope in. That is the basis of our joy. Nothing else. No one else. Christ Jesus, our Savior. Celebrate him this week. Remember him this week. Praise him this week. Honor him this week. Worship him this week. Our gracious Father, what can we say? It's all said throughout Scripture. It's right there underneath our noses. It's always been and always will be about Jesus Christ, our Savior. We honor him this morning with our lips as well as our hearts. And we give you praise for the salvation that was planned before the earth's crust even hardened, before you laid the foundation of this universe, before creation ever happened. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, devised the plan of salvation. We rejoice. In his name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.